Pastor Carswell, great friend of our family, you, your wife, and how many kids?
Five
wonderful
children.
Oh, my goodness. Give me their ages.
Well, I've got two adults, 23 and 22.
Oh, man.
And then 17. Actually, he just had a birthday, John Carswell. Now he's 18.
Oh, my gosh. Looks just like you.
And 15, almost a new driver, and then 13. So,
new drivers. Do you know how much fun that is at your house?
A lot of fun. We're really well experienced. It'll be number four. So,
Matt had a new driver, got his license on Thursday, and he's going to homecoming with a young lady on Saturday or Friday night. That's pretty quick, isn't it?
That's awesome.
My friend, great to see you this morning.
You too.
Justin, I kid you all the time about being from Baylor, but tell me where you grew up. Where'd you before you went to Baylor?
Yeah, I'm a sixth-generation Texan, so all my folks are down in Texas. And
which way?
Well, we Sic'em Bears. We don't do horns up or horns
wow.
down.
Wow. They're all Baylor people. They're Christians,
they're
huh? They're saved.
Baptists.
Yeah, that's what I that's yeah. Michael Singletary is on your wall.
Oh yeah.
You're not old enough to remember him, are you?
Oh yeah. I remember Mike Singletary.
Oh my. If I had
he's a great football player.
Oh my goodness. If I could have his eyes to move back and forth. Unbelievable. I can see him right now for the Chicago Bears, who won yesterday again in the great city of Chicago, Illinois. Well, tell us what we're getting ready to do the next half hour.
Well, we have an opportunity to talk to some folks from Operation Christmas Child. It is getting to be shoebox season again, and we're very excited for the shoebox drive that Operation Christmas Child through Samaritan's Purse puts on. And we have a guest with us here. And
his name?
His name is Vlad. He's from the Ukraine. And he's here to tell us his story, but also how other folks in the area can be involved with impacting a child for Christ through the Shoebox Ministry.
Darren, pull up your microphone.
Yes.
Do we keep him the next half hour? Do you think he did
I think right? he's doing all right. Yeah, we'll keep him.
All right, sit where you're at. We'll be right back. It's Good Morning Ozarks, 48 to 50 degrees. We're going to come back with Vlad here in just a minute. Vlasky, if you, and you all, I'll spell it for you if you'd like to, but I'm really, really proficient in my language. But I might just stay with Ski. We'll be right back on Good Morning Ozarks. But we're not going to talk about Samaritan's Purse right off the bat because this young man, I just found out, is from Kiev, Ukraine. And my heart just sank when I found that out. I should have read a little bit earlier so I wasn't shocked right here in front of everybody. But it is unbelievable. And we want our people to pray for him, not only for Operation Christmas Child and the full circle that we see here. We've been doing Operation Christmas Child since Franklin first brought it up, from the shoeboxes to how it's grown and what it's doing. Millions of people's lives being changed by Samaritan's Purse. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Good Morning Ozarks. Charlie?
Give me my microphone. What yeah. do you do?
I thought I was bringing this back.
Well, you were, but my goodness sakes alive, I'm the host, and you're supposed to kind of assist me, and you're just looking at me.
It's all yours.
No, Ozarks. Not that quick. What are they listening to?
Good Morning Ozarks on 88.1 Life FM.
And I'm the host today, Charlie Ingram, and Justin Carswell is my co-host.
Good. Well, for a little while, good morning.
Where do you have to go?
Well, you know, eventually.
Well, I mean, I have you late 30, don't I?
Oh, yeah. As long as you want, I'm here.
Is Mandy listening this morning?
I don't know if she is at the moment.
But guess what? If she's not, that's good for us. Because we're on a podcast. Darren, tell them what people can do on our program.
Yeah, you can go back and listen to a recording of Good Morning Ozarks. Just go to klfcradio.com and click on the podcast.
So you went to Baylor, so I'm going to dive into this interview right off the bat. I'm doing a little off-the-air things and found out that one young lady is from Ohio, and she blessed us because she didn't say the Ohio State University. Then I found out that Vasky here went to Ohio State. Are you serious?
Yes.
Did you get in because you were from the Ukraine, or what happened?
Well, I went to Ohio State just because my parents lived up there.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Pull yourself in a little bit.
Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah, we can now. And then you brought up Tennessee. You only did that because of the victory that you all had on Saturday.
No, I was always a huge Tennessee fan, but they just weren't doing very well. So, it's closeted Tennessee fan.
Oh, don't do that to me. Don't be a fair weather fan this morning. Well, I want to talk about something with you this morning, before we even get into Operation Christmas Child and Samaritan's Purse and what they do and the great job they do. Tell me, from a citizen in the past of Kiev, Ukraine, And by the way, pronounce your entire name for me, please.
Yeah, it's Bob Smith. I'm just kidding.
No, I like, and you don't do that. You be Bob Smith the whole program.
It's actually full name is Vladimir Viktorovich Prokhnevsky, which is full sorry.
Prokhnevsky. Okay, I got a Prokhnevsky. Okay, take the H out.
Yeah, if you take the H away and Prokhnevsky. Yeah.
Oh my, take the I out there. Just go to E. Prokhnevsky. I've got that Vladimir. I'll just call you Vlasky.
Yeah, but it's heartbreaking to see what's happening in Ukraine because it's truly a family war. We, you know, I have a lot of relatives that are Russians. I speak Russian Ukrainian. And it's just, it's tough to see so much division going on and just what's going on in my backyard. Building was bombed just 5 minutes from where I grew up. And it's a war zone now. It's a pretty big city. And just to think that all that is happening and just getting phone calls and text messages from people, and they're witnessing missiles flying overhead and uncertainty and fear. They're scared and they're concerned. And you feel helpless and hopeless. All you could do is pray.
Boy, are we going to come back to that in a minute, because my heart feels the same way yours does. I see your president, I see the will of the people, and I watch a gentleman by the name of Mr. Putin. For some reason, I don't know what's driving him. I don't know why in the world that we live in we can't understand peace. Pastor, why do we not see peace in the world?
Well, men's hearts are dark, and they need Christ and his peace to govern their will. And until we see that worldwide, you know, we're not going to see peace in this world. But in the midst of that, that's how Christ can bring peace to our hearts, right? To our heart. It can bring peace to my heart, bring peace to your heart. And in the midst of following him, it helps us understand how we relate to our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, through the peace of Christ. And that's how we actually find peace in this world.
Yesterday I was having a phone call with a gentleman named Al Pulis. And on the program the other day we brought up Tanzania and we brought up Malawi. And I could not remember exactly where we did the radio tower reaching people in, and it was Malawi. But he also told me about the gentleman who's now the president of, I believe it's Tanzania, not Malawi, where the entire country, and he told me also that the gentleman we had on our program during a number of years ago that was leading the evangelical movement in Tanzania or Malawi, one of the others, Al can call me and tell me, they have 13,000 churches now under his leadership, and that the country, the entire country, has this feeling of Christian principles even in their state house. Well, we don't have that in the United States. We're so divided over different things, from abortion to our gay rights, transgender, all these things that go on. But my heart goes out. So I want us to stop for just a moment. I'm going to ask you, please, Justin, pray for the people of Ukraine and pray for Vladimir's family. And we'll just take a time before we dive into this fun interview concerning Operation Christmas Child. Pray for them, please.
I will. Gracious God, thank you so much for your work in this world. We pray, Father, for the people of Ukraine right now, that in the midst of the tragedy all around them, that they turn to you. I pray, Father, for just a stop and end to this war, that the Russian aggression would cease, and that they would see that what they're doing to many, in as described, their own families, their own friends, things like that, that it's destructive and it does no good for the world, Lord. Pray, Father, for those who are suffering even right now in the midst of all that, and that you would bring healing and peace and comfort through your name and through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And we sit today very comfortable. We'll complain about the gas prices and other things, but at the end of the day, what is your relationship with Jesus Christ? There's a scripture, I think it's John 16:33, but it might not be, Justin, but it's close. In this world, there's a chance you'll have some tribulation. No, it says in this world, you will have tribulation. But there's a three-letter Greek word that I love called but. Do you remember what the rest of that is?
But I give you peace.
And I have overcome the
That's
world.
That's right.
We got to remember that. Well, Vlad, good morning.
Good morning.
I forgive you. Ohio State, Tennessee, they're all good schools. I just give them a hard time because I'm a Purdue guy myself, and we pulled out a big victory over Florida Atlantic over Saturday.
They play football?
Yeah. Yeah, Purdue? They do. We have more astronauts in most schools.
Oh.
That doesn't mean much anymore, okay?
And we've just got wondering if there's
and got a pretty good girls volleyball team in an airport, but we're pretty weak. And if Keith was here, he was really excited about Nebraska last week.
Did they lose again?
They didn't play.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Good Morning Ozarks. Here's what I want to do, Vlad. I want to just welcome you to Branson, but I want to start from the beginning. This is how we do our show on a regular basis. Our listeners are pretty used to this. We want to go back to childhood. Take me back to mom and dad. Let's walk through before the shoebox ever came. And I've done the shoeboxes, and an actual shoebox. And now we've gone to plastic containers. Now I can take a UPC code, track it, and find out where it's at. Find a track in it. Tell me from the beginning.
Well, I come from Kiev, Ukraine, from the capital. It's kind of interesting because I'm actually older than my country because I was born in 1987, and Ukraine became a country in 1991. So I kind of got to experience Soviet Union a little, very, you know, it didn't change overnight. People didn't change overnight. And so my parents were persecuted for their faith. My father was an underground pastor in Kiev, Ukraine, during the time when it wasn't popular or allowed to be a Christian. But my father, he understood one thing, that the safest place to be is on assignment, right? If God wants you to be there, you're safe. And so he would boldly get up and preach the gospel on the streets of Kiev during bus rides, train rides, well knowing that he could be taken away and not see his family ever again. And in fact, one time they threatened to take him to worked on the reactor at Chernobyl, which would have been a death sentence, but God protected him. But there were consequences for being a Christian during those times. Because everything was owned by the state, there was no private sector. You couldn't just start your own business. So my father was hindered from advancing in our society. He had to settle for low-paying jobs. And as you can imagine, all the bonuses and things like that were taken away from him. And he didn't go to the right schools because of that. They made sure that Christians didn't advance in that structure, in that society. But it's interesting if you think about it now, because for years I kept thinking about this idea, why were Christians persecuted? If you think about it, Christians are full of love. You squeeze a Christian, love should come out, right? It's kind of like if you squeeze an orange juice and apple juice comes out, it's just weird. That's not our nature. And we're light. And one day I was just sitting in my house and finally I had a revelation. Well, the reason why we're persecuted is because we carry the light, and light exposes darkness, and light exposes corruption, right? And so we're a threat to darkness because you can't turn darkness on the light. When light comes on, it exposes everything.
Blasky, I heard an old guy tell me this one time, and I love it. In our home, and it might be weird, but no matter what size the house is with our kids, we played hide and seek. Sometimes it was a day or two before we found some of the kids, but it was fun, okay? But the guy told a story about hiding in the closet. Pitch black. I've been in the closet. That was my hiding spot because I could get into it. Not the clothes hamper. And in that closet, when I'd shut those doors, it'd be totally black. But the lights were on in the house. And the guy told the accountant, you notice when you open the door of the closet, the dark doesn't run out and consume the light. The light runs in. It's just like you said, and takes over the dark. And that is a light that we have.
Yeah, and that's the society, that's where we grew up, and that's why we were persecuted for that one reason, because not only we carried the light, but we also carried love, and love is contagious, it spreads like wildfire. You know, you can't fight love and win, it doesn't work that way.
Now, your dad's the pastor of a very small church.
Underground church.
At what age did you realize, oh, wait a minute, what's going on here? Every time he talks about Jesus or something, people kind of look at it. When did you realize that in your young?
From the very beginning, there was no middle, so to speak. You knew right away that you were in the war. You know, I call Christianity a full contact sport. You knew that you were in it. And so you were well aware of what was going on because everywhere you went, you knew you were different. You knew that there's something different about you. You were treated differently on the news. You were treated differently everywhere else. And the government made up lies about Christians. It didn't help by spreading propaganda because most Christians had very large families. And they would say things like, the reason why Christians have so many children is because they're pedophiles. And they would say things like that. So, which, as you can imagine, everywhere you go, you hear that you're Christian, all of a sudden people reject you because they think that you're something bad. So, yeah, that's we were well aware of who we were. And it took me a while to kind of figure out, you know, how I make sense of it all. But how you make sense of it all is first seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and he'll give you everything you need to know and do.
Now, that all sounds great sitting here today, but then when I'm 7, 8, 9 years old, is dad sitting you down, is mom sitting you down, and say, Vlad, we got to talk to you a minute because there's some things you've got to understand or you're going to be misguided?
It was less talk and more action. So it was my dad, my mom and dad, they're not necessarily, you know, if you ever meet somebody from the Eastern Europe, they don't express emotions very well. Like, I always jokingly say, this is a Ukrainian smile, right? Lack of one,
sure.
Right? And, but it's their life, you know, what's that word? Preach the gospel, and if you have to use words. That's kind of how they walked it out, they lived it out. It was led by example. It's not like, let me tell you, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and we're as children, we're visual learners. You can tell me all day long to do something, but if you do the opposite, I'll do what you do because that's, you know, you would do what others do. And so that's, I'd say most of my experience came from just observing my parents.
Now, but you're still a young man. And
sure.
You asked me when I mentioned football. I didn't fall into your trap. I understand the World Cup. I know what the round ball is. I know you hit it with your head. You can't touch it with your hands. You can't pass it.
Right.
It's a great sport. Did you ever play soccer?
Briefly.
Yeah.
I'm from Texas, though. You know.
Yeah. And you know how much you got to run to play soccer?
That's why I don't play it.
That's my point. You were a pole vaulter. That's what I'm going to do. When did you start playing soccer as a young boy, just playing with kids?
You know what? From a very young age, and because we were so poor, to me, soccer was like an escape from all of that. And I thought maybe if I can somehow make it and get my family out of poverty. I think that's what every kid in third world countries dreams of. They feel like, and in a way, it's not very healthy to take on that kind of pressure, that you feel like you can help your family by maybe if you excel in this one thing and you become the best, the greatest.
I hear you, but I understand it. Because you're oppressed, things. But I watch, and whether it be on television or someplace else, this athlete scored 3 goals. My goodness, Sam scored 3 goals and whatever. And I'm being elevated. I'm looking at the teams that want me to play on their team, and I find out they can travel, and there's extra things that go with it. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what every child can, in that society, that they see their parents suffer so much, and they think that, you know what, I think I can help. If I can just learn this craft, and by being so good at this craft, maybe I can take my family out. So soccer was kind of the escape for me, and which is so cool because when a lot of kids that receive shoeboxes, they get soccer balls. And I remember in our neighborhood, there was only one soccer ball. And as you can imagine, there's a big city, and it was a sad moment in our journey when that soccer ball was too worn out and popped. Because
yeah.
It's like the whole neighborhood was depressed. We had nothing to do. And so we would wait for somebody to have a birthday so they would get a ball, and it would bring community together, kept us out of trouble. Instead of fighting with each neighborhood, we just had games against each neighborhood.
Now, how about your friends? I'm talking about, and let's talk teenager-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Preschool, forget that. We understand that. I'm talking about the ones that are around you. Did you have Christian friends, or were you surrounded by all kinds of people? Give me that picture.
You know, we were surrounded by all kinds of people, I would say, because and there were Christians. Not every child was comfortable with calling themselves Christians. It was a time where, like, even observing my older brothers, there was a little bit of hypocrisy because people were just so afraid of persecution, especially children. They don't truly understand what they believe in yet, but some of them would hold back. They would, like, in the corner tell you, hey, I'm also a Christian. But they were just scared to verbalize it because of fear of persecution. So you saw some of that hypocrisy. But for the most part, it was just children. You know, as children, we don't really think that deeply about things. We were just having fun playing soccer.
I'd like to share something with you and Justin. And Mary, I hope you're listening this morning, my wife. I want to tell you about a little game we used to play at our church youth group. And where you played it wasn't a game. It was called the Secret Meeting of the Saints. We went to our youth department. We said, folks, this country we're living in is changing. And one of these days, you might have to be accountable for your faith. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to share something with you, and we're going to give you an event. We're going to tell you where it's at, but you cannot tell anybody. We're going to tell you where to be dropped off. We're going to give you the code words you must say to get through where you're going. And here's what we're doing. And Justin, we did this. Ask Jana and any of the kids about Secret Meeting of the Saints. So I can remember one night we decided to have it at our home. It's up behind the junior high school. Turned all the lights off and had them dropped at the high school. Came through the football field and had some people standing there. Can I help you? And there was a password that they had to use. So they came in the house. I'm standing outside the house. I let them in and after about 30 or 40 kids were there, and we didn't think we had all that we were going to have. We were sitting there, and the lights were out, and we're talking, and we're talking about Christ, and then pretty soon there was a knock at the door. And in front of the doors walked in a state policeman from the state of Missouri. And he walks in, and he said, "Mr. Ingram, is this your home?" It's mine. "What are you all doing here?" Now, I'm going to tell you, up in our little tri-level, those kids' eyes were about as big as saucers, and the adults, because I had planned this, they didn't know it. And I said, "Is this a meeting of Christians?" And he took two steps before the crowd. He said, "Is this a meeting of Christians? Anybody willing to stand and say you're a Christian?" And I remember it like it was yesterday. One of the leaders quietly, just barely raised his hand, said, "I will." And he took off his hat and said, "I'm glad you did, because I am one too." And then gave the testimony. "But you've given me a picture of real life, not a play life of secret meeting of the saints." Was there secret meeting of the saints in Ukraine?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, when the church is persecuted, when, so to speak, when the church's back is against the wall, that's when church has to surrender 100% to God. And that's when you see beautiful things happen. A surrendered church is kind of, I always make this example, a seed, in order to produce much fruit, first has to die to self. And same thing for the church. Persecution is not always bad, because during those times, they couldn't just meet in the middle of the, or they couldn't just call everybody, pick up the phone and say, "Hey, we're meeting right here," because everything was censored. And so they would just pray, and church members would have dreams and visions of street addresses and times where to show up for church services. They were spirit-led. It was beautiful how it was all, to how Holy Spirit was mobilizing the church, so to speak. And the few times that they disobeyed the Holy Spirit, that's when they were arrested, captured, written up. So it was interesting. And in fact, I was talking to my dad not that long ago, and I was asking him about those times, because now he's in freedom. He's got all the freedom he ever wanted. But in the way he was talking, telling me how he missed those days, because he was so, he's just like a lean athlete. He was so on, he didn't care about the news and all that. He was just Holy Spirit driven, and he missed those days when they were persecuted, because they had to rely on the Holy Spirit 100%. And, you know, when you need very little, faith is a muscle, right?
Sure.
And to exercise faith, you almost have to have hardships. And sometimes when we live in a lot of comfort, you don't need that much faith to get by. And so it just comes with the territory. It's just nothing that...
Why do you have to bring that up? Because it's true, isn't it?
It's true.
You want to comment on what he just said, Justin?
Well, just curious, as you're looking around the United States today and you see, you know, there's a lot of talk about Christians facing opposition and things like that, but what's your perspective on what you see in the United States? I know it's not at the level that you saw as a boy growing up in Ukraine, but what's it like from your perspective? Do you see kind of lines of similarity that Christians are beginning to face here?
Absolutely. I just think it looks different. It's just just persecution, but looks different. You know, nothing is truly new under the sun. It's just different. Same methods, just different tactics kind of thing. And, you know, I feel like now people can't be in the middle. They have to take sides. And that's kind of how it was back then. You couldn't just be in the middle. The fence was gone. You had to take a side. And I feel like that's what's happening now.
Wow. I love that answer, because I think you're absolutely right. You know, I'm the oldest guy in the group here today, okay? I'll be 73 on October the 4th, and we're having a big party. I sent you the invitation the other day so you and your wife could have it. You
invited the whole town.
Well, not the whole town. I've invited more people than I probably should. But in the world we're walking through right now, if you stand up in a conversation, what's one of the first issues we're going to talk about right now? Abortion. My goodness, wait a minute. When does life begin? Oh, I don't think so. I mean, we've got a View co-host on television, and we also have Stacey Abrams running for governor. Talks about that heartbeat's not right. It's a flutter. A flutter of what? What kind of deception are we hearing just on that issue? And I think that's one where we've got to stand up. You're either for it or against it. Would you agree?
Yeah, and before you kind of can be ignorant, you can get away by being ignorant about certain things. But now I feel like the time is where you truly have to figure out what you stand for. And
ooh, time out a minute. Let's touch that a minute. I think you're right. I think there's something. I don't know much about that.
Yeah.
Well, I know one thing about it. Abortion is evil. Abortion kills babies. Conception begins life. Your DNA, the amount of hair you're going to have, if you're going to be a Democrat or a Republican, that's not true. Probably is, okay? Everything, Justin, from the beginning.
It does. That's right. That's what the scripture says, you know, in Psalm 139 describes, you know, in my inner, you know, before I was born, that God knows that child.
Wow. So you can't be ignorant anymore. We're going to do something. We're going to kind of change the setting here. I'm going to bring another chair into the table. We're going to bring the Samaritan's Purse people in here, and we're going to talk here in just a moment about you, about being full circle. Now, do you know about the College of the Ozarks? Because that's where you're at.
Slowly learning more about it.
You know, it's one of the most major universities where you graduate with no debt in the United States. Do you know that?
You know, and that's very impressive. I've never heard of anything like that being done before.
Well, wait till you figure it out, okay? Because it's pretty, pretty neat. And guys like Justin have been around that campus for a long time. It's a fun place, isn't it?
It is a great place. It's a unique educational experience in American higher education.
Now, I have a question for you, and I've asked my daughter this question, and you can answer any way that you want to, because you're not under the gun. Darren's not holding you accountable. Your wife will hear the podcast later. But do you have security where you live?
We have great security where we live.
Do you have somebody mow your grass?
I do have someone to mow my grass.
Well, and how are the flowers?
Well, I do the flower watering in the small garden area in front of my house.
Are there sometimes food provided for you at places like the cafeteria?
Every day, three times a day.
To where there's a young lady by the name of Macy Goodwin working in the CAF, who's a freshman this year.
Oh, yeah. I see her in there. She works hard, by the way. She does a great job.
Dish pit. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah. She's back there washing dishes.
See? Being a real servant. So, Caitlin, good morning. Welcome to the microphone.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Toledo, huh?
Yes, sir.
We had somebody on the show the other day who lives here in Branson, who has a show called, come on. Help me, Darren, the guy from Next Man Up. Why is it leaving me? All Hands on Deck, 1942. And he's from your area. And Pinkerton or some big fair that they have in that area. And he caught the greased pig there.
Okay.
Did you ever catch the greased pig?
Not familiar with the greased pig.
Well, I guarantee you he'll tell us about it. So you're from the Toledo area. Are you from Toledo or are you from a small town?
I'm from Toledo, born and raised. Yeah.
You are?
Yep.
So you know where Sandusky is?
Oh, yeah.
And you know where Cedar Point is?
Went there all the time growing up.
Oh, my goodness sakes alive. So how did you come along to be with Samaritan's Purse?
Yeah, I got connected with Samaritan's Purse in college and actually had the opportunity to do a summer internship. So what turned into a three-month job ended up being 7 years and counting. I've been with Operation Christmas Child.
Now, you said college, Toledo. Mm-hmm. Where'd you go to school?
I went to a school, Cedarville University.
Know it? Mm-hmm. We know that name, yeah.
Yep, not too far from Ohio.
And is it a Christian school?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that, and good reputation.
Absolutely, yeah, I loved it.
Now, were there sports fans in your family?
Yes, my brother was a big Ohio State fan, but I lived right on the border.
Don't talk to him anymore.
The Ohio State.
He's a true fan.
Oh, my goodness. Well, couldn't they say Ohio University, Ohio?
Oh, you always had to correct it. The.
Oh, my goodness.
Ohio University is something completely different.
Okay, I'll tell you, and I'll let you all answer. You ready for this? What if I told you I dotted the I at Ohio State?
Did you really?
No, but it's fun to say to Ohio State people. When I watch that tuba guy come out from under the goalpost and dot that I, I've told so many Ohio State, what if I told you I dotted? You did know, but it was just fun to talk about. Hey, we're going to come back on Good Morning Ozarks. Tell them again where they can hear the podcast, Darren, please.
Yeah, just go to klfcradio.com and click on the podcast button.
And we are going to go into the regular part of the interview now about speaking at the college, Samaritan's Purse, and what we call full circle. It's Good Morning Ozarks. That little bit of music told you right now it's time for me to get out of here. Keith, you're missing Goodwin. He's with family for a week. People of the College of the Ozarks can be very, very proud to have a pastor and leader like Justin Carswell. It's Good Morning Ozarks, 88.1 FM. Dave and Caitlin is our new favorite friends. We're still figuring you out yet. We're just not sure yet.
Okay.
I'm going to learn something in Ukraine here in a minute where I can say I'm fluent in the Ukrainian language. But I'm not sure what that is yet because I'm having still a hard time with your last name, Prognevsky.
You've seen it better than I can.
Yeah. We'll be back. It's Good Morning Ozarks. Dares with me this morning, 88.1 FM. We'll be back after the news.
Good Morning Ozarks.
Yes, Justin, you're the winner, winner, chicken dinner, buddy.
Welcome back to 88.1.
FM streaming all over the world on KLFCradio.com, even to Kiev, Ukraine. If they're listening on the podcast in Ukraine, and they could be listening live this morning to you, your family, where we're streaming, would you say welcome to them in their native language and welcome to Branson, Missouri?
Oh, my gosh. Put me on the spot there.
Yeah.
Well, in Ukraine, I always say, Zdoravenki buli, just to cheer them up a little bit, but that's what I would say.
That's all you'd say?
That's all I would say.
Just you go to Ohio State, and the only thing you can say is that? how about Jesus loves you? How about that one?
Jesus vas любит.
Did you get that?
I got
Jesus.
Sometimes, see, Russian is my first language, and Ukrainian is my second. So sometimes when on the spot, I'm always afraid that I'm going to mix up the two. It's going to sound really weird.
Yakov told us the same thing, and it was unusual for me to understand it, where Russian's the first language.
Well, I grew up on the streets. We spoke Russian because everywhere we went, we spoke Russian. And in school, we spoke Ukrainian. So we were kind of they're trying to introduce Ukrainian language more because, you know, I was born in 1987. It wasn't even, it was still USSR.
How close are the Ukrainian and Russian?
Is it different in 9 days, in my opinion?
Really? Yeah. Like Latin and Spanish, huh?
Yeah, it's very different.
Huh. What do you speak?
I speak
South Texas.
South Texas. Although I've learned not to all the time.
Yeah. This is like I asked a lady yesterday. We're at Guy Ferretti's restaurant with the staff from the roller coaster. And by the way, if anybody's in town long enough and want to take a ride, I'd be glad to send you over to the coaster. And we're down at Guy Ferretti's, and the lady said, I said, where are you from? She said, Harrison. And I said, no, you're not. She said, well, I'm from Green Forest. And I said, yes, Green Forest. I know people there. Can you say Barreville? She says, not anymore. It's Berryville. She has been culturized just like you. Well, let's start with you, Justin Carswell, the pastor and leader at College of the Ozarks. Tell us about the program and why we're here today.
Well, we are here to talk about Operation Christmas Child. Operation Christmas Child is a ministry of Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse, of course, founded through the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and is the Franklin Graham is its leader right now. Also, Edward Graham, I think you've had on this program before, maybe several years ago. And they exist to help share the gospel with children around the world through their simple gift. Around the Christmas season, we collect shoeboxes here around the Christmas season. They're delivered throughout the year, but it makes a major impact in a child's life. A few years ago, I had a chance to go to Grenada to watch a shoebox delivery in the churches there, and just the smiles on those children's faces. I mean, I can just close my eyes and still remember seeing those kids open up and see something that they have been waiting for, and they, you know, and hoping that they would get something like that. And it was amazing ministry to hear then the gospel presented and see them respond.
Caitlin, as you hear Pastor Carswell, Justin, my friend, say that, and you can take that microphone and pull it to you if you want to. As you're listening to that, what are you saying in your heart as a representative of Samaritan's Purse?
Yeah, it gets me excited. I love hearing people's heart for the ministry. And I mean, I've been able to be on a distribution like Justin and see just how the Lord works and how the Lord, we talk about how a shoebox is just a tool and it's just a start, and how it opens the hearts and lives to children all over the world. It provides churches with the opportunity to be a part of gospel ministry, resources that we have easy access to, that Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child is able to step in and provide churches and really mobilize them to do their ministry. They're the heroes. They're the ones that are being able to do ministry. They're the brave ones. And we just get to be a small part of providing them a resource to get that started.
Dave, as you hear Pastor Carswell and Caitlin speaking, your comments.
Yeah, well, again, I agree with their comments wholeheartedly. It goes beyond the shoebox, and it even goes beyond the outreach event. So we use the local church in those areas, ministry partners, so it's not a bunch of North Americans going and distributing shoeboxes. But after the outreach event, we invite all the children back for a 12-week discipleship program called The Greatest Journey. And it's 12 lessons, and it's about knowing the gospel, growing in the gospel, and then being able to share the gospel. And 6 weeks into that journey is when they sit down with somebody from the local church, and they're asked the question, do you know the gospel now, and are you going to respond, and how would you respond to it? And if you ever see published numbers of commitments to Christ from Operation Christmas Child, it's after 6 weeks of discipleship or six lessons. Sometimes it takes more than a week, but it's not at the outreach, sugar-filled, fun, get the shoebox event. But it's after they've been in a discipleship process with somebody. So I love the integrity of Samaritan's Purse in that way, that those are the numbers that we're going to publish are the ones after they've been in discipleship, and that's when they said, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. And we're using that now. Those local churches have found unreached people groups, and they're going and taking the shoeboxes as an easy access into unreached people groups. And this year, we're going to celebrate our 200th million shoebox and our 40th million child going through the greatest journey.
Well, I will tell you, folks, for you that have been involved since the idea first came about, it's a lot of fun. Sitting at this table, in fact, it was over there years and years ago, a lady from Appalachia was here, and she came. And for you people that know anybody about the Appalachians, if you want to take a look at when you use the word hillbilly and things like that, it's an endearing term for, because I am one. And she came, and right here in the United States, got the shoebox, got a community fired up about it. But it's not just in Appalachian throughout the United States. It's around the world. Caitlin, I'm going to let you introduce our guest again this morning and explain to me what the term full circle means. Okay, I think I know, but why don't you tell me?
Yeah, so Vlad, you've heard a little bit of his story already and how he was born in Ukraine. But we have the privilege to be connected with former shoebox recipients from around the country that received shoeboxes when they were kids. And by the grace of God, in a lot of many different ways, they have heard about Samaritan's Purse and they have made their way to us. And they have committed to be trained and to now be what we call a full circle speaker and spokesperson. And so they get the privilege and joy of just sharing the story of God's faithfulness in their life. And Samaritan's Purse and OCC is a small part of that story. And so we get to spend lots of time with these folks from across the country and really around the world and get the privilege to hear their stories and be able to share their story with a lot of different of our partners and our friends across the country.
Wow. Isn't that a great introduction?
This is great.
Now, was there a flat, unblown up soccer ball in your box?
You know what? Yes, there was. But my shoebox, well, you know what? Now thinking about it, it could have been my brother.
But there were one family, that came somewhere.
Yeah, my whole family received a shoebox, so they're all, everybody had something different. So sometimes my story blurs together.
All right.
I do have a twin brother, identical, copy paste. If you met one, you met the other. So we switch things around all the time. But what I remember in my shoebox vividly was dental floss, because I thought it was candy, and I remember thinking, you guys have some crazy candy in America. Like, what kind of candy is this? I remember my mouth was just numb from all that mint I was consuming. On that day when I was opening up, we received our shoe boxes at a church at this distribution event. It was a government building. It was just kind of cool that used to be a building where communists used to have their offices, and now it was a place where people were distributing shoe boxes and sharing the gospel. But when I opened my shoe box, it had this dental floss, and so I thought it was interesting. I was like, what is this thing? I didn't know what dental floss was. So I got a lot of it together in a ball like a mint, and I popped it in my mouth. My mouth was just numb from all that mint. And there was a gentleman who was sitting across, and he was looking at me, and I could tell he was concerned, which he probably should have been. And he came over, and he tried to explain to me the best way he knew how that this is not what you think it is. And he kind of started gesturing that it's kind of like, what I got out of it is that it was like a toothbrush substitute, mm-hmm. which confused me even more, because I remember thinking, like, how is this thing effective? Like, how are you supposed to brush your teeth with this fancy string? Okay, I kind of get the front, but what about the back? And I just couldn't, I was 9 years old, and I couldn't process it. And it wasn't until many years later when we finally moved to Kingsport, Tennessee, and we were at a first dentist appointment where the dentist, he was demonstrating what dental floss was for, and he started going between the teeth. And I remember thinking, like, huh. That's what
that stuff is.
I remember thinking, that's genius. Wow, that's actually very
now,
smart.
Now, in the shoeboxes, somebody in your neighborhood got the deflated volleyball, and we're going to encourage you right now, as you get ready to get your boxes together and you see things on sale, buy you a bunch of deflated soccer balls. But also, you need one more item to go in the box. What is that item?
It's talking about, well, throw some dental. Well, that's true. When you, I usually, every year, I pick a boy, because I think that it's so sad when kids grow up without a soccer ball. So I deflate the ball. And you're right, you got to put in the pump, because
Thank
they
you.
Don't have access.
And
the
what?
it was
The Come needle. On, Vlad.
The needle. The needle. But the needle comes with the pump, though, right?
Yeah. Not, all, not always.
Not all. Okay.
Not always.
The ones that I get, yeah, they come with
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's like hidden in there secretly.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, kids are so, they're so creative. They'll find a way to find a needle or something.
Okay.
So.
They will.
And
that's
spit
true.
On it before you put it in, okay?
That's true.
Around the world.
Yeah.
So when those balls got pumped up and the little balls that are in there, too, you start throwing them and playing with them. Continue your story.
So that's a dental floss was one. Another thing, so growing up, we had to share toothbrushes, which was a humbling experience. But it wasn't, you know, when I share this part, people are like, oh, that's disgusting. But if you think about it, so I would take my toothbrush, I'd brush my teeth, and when I'm finished, I'd give it to my mom. And my mom would wash that toothbrush with hot water and soap. So it was clean, if you think about it, afterwards, and she would give it to the next person in line. But when I got my toothbrush, I just remember it was like a rock star toothbrush. It was like the one to rule them all. It had so much color, so much personality. The way it was designed, it was just, you have to understand, I grew up in a culture where everything was the same. Nobody stood out. Everybody just wore the same stuff. There's even a movie in USSR that was made how this one guy accidentally went to a wrong town, took the wrong flight, and went in the same street, the same apartment building, the same room, and walked in. The furniture was laid out, but he was in a totally different town because everything's kind of like cookie cutter. Nobody's, everybody looked the same. And so when I got my toothbrush, it was just so different, unique. I've never seen anything like it. No one in my town had anything similar to that. And I also had my own Hot Wheel cars. And growing up, I had to play with my shoes pretending they were cars. But now I had my own Hot Wheel cars. I had this, and I brought some. So growing up, I always wanted to have a yo-yo. And we couldn't afford a yo-yo, so we would go outside, we'd find Coca-Cola caps, and we'd flip them, drill a little hole through the middle, put a little match through, some strings. And we made yo-yos out of Coca-Cola caps, but we didn't stop there. So you know how when you take the cap off from a Coca-Cola bottle, there's this plastic ring that seals the cap. When you break the seal, the cap comes off, but the ring stays on the bottle. Well, if you take the ring off and flip it, it had little plastic spikes on it. I guess the spikes prevented the cap from shifting. And so, but those spikes are solid, and they're sharp. And so we would flip them, and they would stick up, and we would slide those rings on the ends of the Coca-Cola caps, and they would lock up really tightly. And so our yo-yos had spikes on them, so they were like little weapons. So when they were spinning, they were cut through. We were like scientists, like, let's see what else can it cut. So it cut grass, paper. It's really cool.
So you invented the weed eater.
Now thinking about it,
crazy.
This is true. Yeah.
You know what you're doing today for our listeners? You're painting a picture as I'm walking through the Dollar Tree store, picking out my items. I need to think more about what you've just said to me. Because I'm grabbing them, and you got the kids, you got more stuff at home than you can ever play with, and thinking, what young man's going to be like Vladimir? Says, I got a toothbrush that I'm going to show off to my neighborhood. Now, some things have probably changed if we fast forward to 2022, but have they changed?
Well, I think it all comes down to just, you know, if you take all the things, all the tangible things away. Because as I'm 35 years old, the older I grow, the little details fade away from the shoebox. But most importantly, it's not so much of the gifts, it's that somebody took the time to do something so special, so loving, unconditional, and you feel that love. I always say when you pack, because all these people, I've met a lot of volunteers throughout the country, there's so much love that goes into these shoeboxes, and children feel that same love. And I always say that God is love. When you show love to people, you show God to people. When people experience love, they experience God. And once you experience that God's unconditional love, it does something. It's kind of like we were talking earlier about the light. You know, when light comes on and darkness goes away. Well, same thing. Once you get that love inside your heart, and it doesn't happen instant for most folks, but it's there, that seed. And years later, somebody will come around and water that seed. And for me, it happened later when I was just meditating on the fact, like, wow, somebody took their time, which I value time over money because you can always get more money, but you can't get more time. Somebody took the resources and did something so special for a complete stranger with no strings attached, somebody that we'll never meet. And it's really weird for Eastern Europeans especially, because in my country, in Ukraine, there's this saying, I'll say it in Ukrainian and then I'll translate. It goes like this, Ukraina rідна мати, не вкрадеш, не будеш мати, which means Ukraine motherland, if you won't steal, you won't have. So there's this mindset that, you know, you got to take. And so for somebody receiving a shoebox unconditionally with no strings attached, living in a culture where the mindset is gimme, 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 it's all me, 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 it messes them up a little bit in a good way. It makes you think, like, why would somebody do something like that? But as Christians, we have love. We can't help but to share love. And love is contagious. It spreads like wildfire, and you can't fight love and win.
Vlad, I want you to do me a favor. Did you bring a yo-yo?
I did. I have it down here. Yes. So
are you good with it?
Yeah, well, this is, I was going to show you what we used to make. So see
it
how firm it is.
It is a weed eater.
Yeah. See how firm it is? Like, yeah. Feel the spikes. And so when I got my yo-yo was, again, it was so colorful, was so thick, bulky. I just wished it had the spikes.
My dad would not let me play with this. and hurt myself.
Well, we did other things that were dangerous that I'm not going to share on the radio, but this was
Put that there. I'm getting a picture of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is going to be my next invention. Your kids will love this.
And we would weigh these things down with just rocks, clay, different types of things. Because the harder,
to make it more harmful.
Yeah.
So you have a regular yo-yo?
I didn't bring it with me, but I remember.
Are you good with it?
Yeah, I'm good. The only thing that I wish my regular yo-yo had spikes on it, so it would be like a bigger weapon.
Oh, my gosh. You wouldn't get it through the airport. So you can do around the world and through and all that stuff?
Oh, no, I'm not that good.
Come on. I'm not that good. He said something, and we're late for the break. And Keith, right now, my co-host is just shaking because real radio people get the breaks on time. But I want you to do me a favor. In his conversation, he said something about watering. But wait a minute, I thought my job was to give you the laws, tell you what's going on, John 3:16, and get you saved. Is that not the plan?
Well, God is at work in everybody, and they are more or less aware of it. Some people are aware of it, that God's at work, and they hear the gospel, and they respond to it immediately. For some people, they have to hear the gospel, and it has to germinate in them a little bit. They have to think about it, or they have to have another experience, and that's where that watering comes in, and that's where that happens, so that then they can say eventually, oh, I do see that God loves me, and I need to respond to him in faith.
We're late in the break, folks. We go to that break right after I do this. Friends, several years ago, walking down that hall were two little people, and they were the greatest little people. Been to the College of the Ozarks, ate with us there at the cafeteria, and Nick was his name, and his little wife, I think he was 4 foot, 2 1/4, I forget exactly how tall, Keith could tell me. Walked across the United States 3 times, and he brought up something on the show, and less than a year ago, I went to see him because he was very, very sick and needed a walker. And I was there visiting with him, and he told me later he had COVID, went to the hospital, and didn't make it. We play this all the time. Listen closely, whether you're in the Ukraine, Russia, or Branson, Missouri. Listen closely.
Did you know we're all one click away from Christ? Nick Della Valle explains.
Our thought is you're not called to go out and convince. You're called to go out and tell. And we believe that every person has a combination lock on their heart. And like on the old high school things, we used to have. And we believe every time you say Jesus Christ, something happens in the atmosphere. And I don't understand it, but we believe something shifts, something changes. Anytime you say the name of Jesus. And we believe that's a click on the lock of the heart. Now, when I go out and somebody says to me, hey, little guy dressed funny, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm walking for Jesus or I'm talking for Jesus. I hear a click, click, right? Now, I'm not worried about leading the man or the woman to the Lord, because I know you're right behind me with another click. And until all those clicks are there, that heart doesn't open. But once all the clicks are there, the heart opens and Jesus comes in. So it doesn't matter to us if we're the first click, a middle click, or the last click. Mm. We just want to be part of that combination to that man or woman's heart. And all we've got to do is say Jesus. If you say Jesus to one of your relatives and they roll their eyes, let them roll their eyes. So what? You got a click in. They're one click closer to eternal salvation than they were.
This was presented by KLFC Radio, Life FM Branson. To find out more about Breath of Christ Ministries,
welcome back to Good Morning Ozarks on KLFC Radio, Life FM.
Darren, have you been excited now to go get your shoebox?
I am, yes.
Get her done, and guess what? Huh? You can get your own plastic container. You got one on the bottom down there, Vladimir? Vlad, I should look at that.
It's beautiful.
Man.
It's durable, too.
Caitlin, tell us about when it's going to happen, when the collections start. And start getting your stuff now when it's on sale.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can collect and go shopping anytime. Sales are great, especially back to school, things like that. But yeah, collection week is November 14th through the 21st. And so during that week, we partner with churches across the country. About 5,000 churches open their doors, and you can take that packed shoebox and drop it off. And I know College of the Ozarks is one of those drop-off locations. Justin, is that right?
That's right. And we'll be announcing kind of what those times are and when you can come on campus and drop off shoeboxes.
You guys are packed. many, many pups and semi-trailer loads of stuff. It's great.
We have, yeah. We have been a partner with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child for almost 2 decades, and it's been a wonderful ministry to see that impact, because we often have students who are full circle students. So they'll come and they'll hear us talking about Operation Christmas Child, and they'll come and they'll ask questions like, is this the shoebox ministry, you know, and that kind of thing. And it, yeah, it's just like that. You know, I've had conversations with some of our students, and they talk about the toothbrush, or they talk about something that we would think is kind of small or just a filler kind of type thing. But that was the thing that in their heart and mind was like, wow, someone cares enough about me to send me a Hot Wheel car, a toothbrush, a bar of soap that's my own. Those kinds of things, and it's humbling to see the impact that it makes on a child.
And we at KLFC Radio will again be sponsored. Now we're connected directly with Samaritan's Purse. You know that through Caitlin and Dave, we're kind of connected.
Yeah, partners.
Right to the main. We'll go around you, okay, and have a direct communication. And maybe what we can do when we get closer is get a call from the main office and do this again as we talk about it. Because give us that date one more time when you think it's going to take place at College of the Ozarks.
Well, it's the week. I always think it's the week before Thanksgiving.
Always so, the third week in November.
Yeah, third week in November, which I believe is the 14th
through the 21st.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Keith keeps up with all that. I don't. This has been an absolute ball. I remember, I'm not a rapper, and I don't mean rap. I mean rap Christmas. My packages never look good. Okay, that's why when they came out with gift bags, that is a grandpa's saving grace. Amen. But I can remember taking my box and things over to the college. They had a wrapping party. Okay, now do they wrap anymore? I don't think we wrap. Do we?
You can wrap them, just not completely closed, or else we'll have to open it up.
Right.
For you.
So you like to do the lid and then put it on there, but you can wrap them in the colors. Okay, but Vlad, you and I are on a first name basis now.
That's
good.
Right.
Good. So we'll stay in touch sometime. Do you still play soccer?
Absolutely. I coach.
Are you serious? At 35, you can still run up and down that field?
Well, I did get a little knee injury.
A little injury. You weren't in shape? What's the problem?
I don't know. Playing on turf, I think.
Turf toe. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, what position do you play?
Midfield. But right now it's fun to. I have two boys, 9 and 6 years old.
How are they doing?
They're doing great.
Better than dad?
Oh, they're way better than me.
Yeah.
They're good. And I was just telling them, my kid wakes up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 years old, does 30-minute training by himself. So I think he's going to be my retirement plan.
I think you're good.
Yeah.
And let him be a professional and go play for Kansas City. Score! that's hockey. Sorry about that. Won't you do me a favor before we go, Vlad? In your mind, open up a box in your mind. Somebody listening today say, I'm telling you, here's some ideas to put in that box that kids really would like, especially a boy. Mm.
You know what? I think something that people don't think about is just things like socks, things like a little hat, a little scarf. Because, for example, my mom used to stay up all night and she would make socks and underwear for us out of old clothes or donated material. So I always say put something fun for the kids, but at the same time think about the mother. Because in those days, you know, when kids open up those gifts, there's usually a mom weeping in the corner because somebody showed their child love. And I always say that because I'm a father. I always say, if you want to get to my heart, do something nice for my kids. That's how you get to a parent's heart. And so these shoeboxes have a huge ripple effect. They don't just bless the children, but they bless the parents. And then the parents come home and they share. It has a huge ripple effect like you wouldn't believe. And so I always say, do something nice for the child. Go all out. You know, pick some kind of theme. But don't forget about the mother, because the mother will be just as blessed watching her kid having something. It will prevent a mother from staying up all night doing something like, you know, making socks.
Well, I'm going to put balls and more balls and more balls because I just love throwing them. I know your kids at your house. We throw them in the living room. We throw them everywhere. Tamir says, come on, quit throwing stuff in the kitchen. Do you still throw things at your house?
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Mandy says.
They ride through skateboards.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Hey, this has been great, Vlad. Thank you very much. Let me try it one more time. Our guest today, Vladimir Prognifsky,
has been
our guest this morning. Oof. And I'd like to play you in soccer sometime, but I don't know much about it. I'd be off sides. I don't know when to.
We'll play football. I like football. I'm pretty good.
I've got an injury, too. Okay. David, closing comments from you, David.
We just appreciate everybody who shares the love of Christ around the world through Pack in a Shoebox. So we're so grateful for partnership with people.
Thank you. Kaylin?
Yeah, I mean, I hope you're encouraged to know that each shoebox is another child that's going to hear the gospel. And so whether that's one box, whether that's 100, whatever that is, that's one more child. So encourage you to get involved this fall and pack a shoebox.
And don't forget the 12-week program afterwards.
Absolutely, yeah.
Justin?
Just as a reminder, share the love of Christ, as that was we heard on the little
click of the heart.
Click of the heart. It is to say the name Jesus, and you can do that through packing a shoebox, but you can also do it just today in your conversation. So take the step and do it.
If you're walking through Branson and Hollister, and man, I really got it tough, just go back and listen to the podcast with Vladimir today and what it's like when you're oppressed. Let's continue to pray for the wonderful folks of Ukraine. My personal opinion, it's an undeserving war on these people. Mr. Putin, you can listen to us live on KLFC Radio right there in the Kremlin if you'd like. And I'm just encourage you to listen to the soft spirit of the Father, that you don't need to control the world. He's already got that under control. And let's pull out and let these people live accordingly. God bless you, buddy. I'm going to rethink this on the football thing, because I think maybe there's some things that I've got in my past that could be good about beating you. Would you play on my team?
Of course.
You're in trouble. He is an athlete.
He looks like he can.
Could you pole vault?
I don't know.
What? Mr. Pole Vaulter right here, what was your height that you went?
Well, I was actually a high jumper.
That looks dangerous.
I thought you pole vaulted.
No, my kid's pole vaulted. He's great at it.
Did you do high hurdles or low?
Well, it's a high jump. You know, you jump.
Oh, you don't know jump.
Backwards.
No, no.
You go backwards over the bar.
Yeah, I remember.
It looks like an injury in the making.
I think you're right. Did you do the flop thing where you went backwards?
Of course.
What was your height?
Almost 7 feet.
Boom!
Oh, wow. Okay.
He is an athlete. We're leaving on that. It's Good Morning Ozarks 88. I'm going to ask you how high you jump too, Darren, but we don't have time. It's Good Morning Ozarks 88.1 FM, streaming all over the world. Don't miss this one. Have a great day. May God bless you. See you later.